Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Today We Learned. My name is Razzle, as always, and we got a great guest today. This is a really fun episode. From the MTV show Teen Wolf and the current CW show The Originals, we got a good friend of mine. And he sits down with me, and we have some fun chats about all sorts of things. It's a really, really, really fun episode. His name is Kiahu Kahuanui. And he's a really cool dude. And this is a really good episode. And if you're listening to this early, thanks for supporting on Patreon and all of that jazz. And if not, thanks for listening to it. And hopefully you enjoy all of the episodes that got uploaded at once. As of this recording, there's two of those. I'm hoping to have three or four total to all put on iTunes at once for your binge listening pleasure. So hopefully you guys pound through the four episodes that I just uploaded and give us awesome reviews and give me good reviews and all of that jazz, and I thank you kindly. So yeah, we'll just get right on into this awesome episode. Today we learned with Kiahu Kahuanui.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Today We Learned. Holy cow. Second episode back from the afterlife, from a 3 or 4 month hiatus or whenever this comes out. I want to thank everybody for downloading it and listening to it. And we want to thank everybody who's listening to this early on Patreon. We want to thank you guys for, you know, tossing in a couple bucks and helping us keep this going and get the stuff to keep it going. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. This is going to be a fun episode. We got a buddy of mine. You've seen him in a lot of things. You've seen him on Teen Wolf. You've seen him in The Secret Life of an American Teenager. He's in The Originals. Really talented actor and a really cool, funny dude. And I'm glad to have him here. And I'm going to pick his brain about a lot of things because, according to his Wikipedia, he knows a lot of languages. And this is going to be a fun chat. And I got some fun things to talk about, just random things. Some fun facts here like you guys always listen to. I'm going to try and pronounce his name. He just told me his last name because I just call him by his first name because there's no other first names in my cell phone of this. I'm going to try and pronounce his last name exactly how he told it to me. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Kiahu Kahuanui.
Yeah, you got it.
I got it?
Yeah.
I got it? Yay. Applause. Air horns.
After bam, like bam. The 10th time.
No. Yeah,
we practiced before.
I said that exact intro 10 times. This is take 7. This is take 11. Thank you so much for doing the show.
No, absolutely.
Have you done a podcast before?
Yes, I have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What ones have you done?
David Blues.
Oh, I know David. Yeah, he did my show and I did his show. Yeah, it was a good one.
And another friend of mine. Matt Cohen's.
Oh, Matty.
Yeah, yeah.
I just saw him today too.
Yeah, I think he's changed his the title of his podcast, where he's like changed direction or something.
Yeah,
with it. But
one of them was like it was like the Cabin Boys, right?
That was one of them.
And then there was a different
one. On the one before that, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. That's awesome. They're fun. They're literally.
You
gotta
reinvent yourself sometimes, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean, this one's kind of getting reinvented to an extent. Like we used to do them. Weekly. I'm going to play now that I'm not on a network, I can really kind of do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do whatever I wanted when we were on Nerdist, but now it's like I'm thinking about, you know, I'm recording them and then, you know, either changing it a little bit or like the release schedule. Like the first bulk I'm recording and then I'm going to put on Patreon for the listeners to listen to early, the people who are supporting the show a little bit early. And then on iTunes, on our regular feed that everybody listens to, I'm going to try and do like four at once. So that way it's like a month of episodes that you can listen to at your leisure. But also, according to the iTunes algorithm, I'm getting like 1,000 downloads, more than that. But, you know, I mean, I'm getting on like if I drop four episodes at once, iTunes will be like, holy shit, this podcast has 60,000 downloads.
Yeah.
And then that'll put me back up on the charts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to figure out
that's
whatever.
How that works, okay.
I think so. I don't know. iTunes doesn't let you know how things work. So if you're listening to this.
Well, everybody likes binge listening.
Right.
Watching.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
And, you know, if you got a long commute or whatever, you know, you can listen to four, you know, you can. If you don't listen to a lot of podcasts, you can listen to a bunch of us within a week or whatever. We like to start off each episode with the guest providing a fun fact about themselves or something they learned recently. Do you have anything that comes to mind?
Something I learned recently was, oh, so if you've never looked up XPRIZE, it's a really cool organization, foundation that creates incentive prizes for new technologies.
Okay.
And last night I went to this basically like this presentation, and the CEO from XPRIZE gave a presentation about their most recent reward, like for technology, and they're doing a tricorder. They're trying to get like someone in the world. It's open to everyone.
Open to everybody. It's worldwide.
So like engineers, like you don't have, like you can be from any background, from anywhere in the world. You just have to come up with the solution to this idea. And basically, what they're looking for is a device that can scan your body or like somehow measure. I'm sure it like does blood or whatever. And tell you, I guess, a reading of your like body status according to like 10 different diseases or something, and he says that they're awarding the prize in April.
So somebody already kind of figured it out
with something, and like they're like,
there's got to be some form of like blood drop or something. Like it can't just be a scan.
Yeah, something, but I mean, like it's still very impressive. And he said that it's supposed to be more effective than going to see your primary care physician for these ailments. And
that's awesome.
It's supposed to revolutionize just going to the doctor in general.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, all these rapid tests for strep throat, yeah. Like these things make
it so much easier.
Yeah, so
if
much
you could get all those in
costs,
one thing.
Yeah, lower the cost just for trying to figure out whether or not you have a sickness that you actually need medication for,
yeah.
Or if it's like a cold and you just need to like stay at home in bed for a week.
Yeah.
So, super.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And a lot of the prizes that they do, they award like $10 million or something. But if you think about it, like collectively, you in the people who compete for these things collectively are definitely spending much more than
$10 million.
It's almost free R&D or like the.
And what does XPRIZE do with this?
So what they well, the other great thing that they do is that they take the prize winner and their team or whoever it is, and they help them use that money. Like they can do whatever they want with the prize money, but they help them scale their product and their business to make it, you know, more widely available. Because that's the incentive. They're trying to solve Earth's problems, like civilization.
So the competitions are generally for something that is a global initiative almost.
Yes. And they have like I think the next set of problems that they have that they've been already working on have to do with the ocean.
Oh,
and
okay.
I guess they're going through the next. They've already gotten through the first two or three steps, and the fourth step is like actual cleanup.
Yeah.
Because there's all this plastic, all the plastic.
So much. There's an island floating around, supposedly, of just trash in the ocean.
They're like in our lifetime, apparently, we should have the technology and be able to clean up the ocean.
That's awesome.
At least from pollution, not necessarily from other things that are happening to it.
That's the XPRIZE is a nonprofit organization that designs and manages public competitions intended to encourage technological development that could benefit mankind. Their board of trustees include James Cameron, Larry Page, Arianna Huffington, Radha Tata, I don't know who that is, Ratan Tata, it's probably somebody else who's really cool. it was founded
just
in...
Just click further.
I'm going to click further. Here we go. It's not a blue link. It's just... No. the only name that doesn't have a link. The XPRIZE mission is to bring about radical breakthroughs for the benefit of humanity. I swear I have my glasses.
Wording is tough today.
Founded in 1995. Location is the main headquarters is in Culver City, California. Mm-hmm. Key people, Peter Diamandis, chairman and CEO. Their slogan is making the impossible possible. Let's see who Ratan Tata is. He's an Indian businessman, investor, philanthropist, and foreman chairman of Tata Sons. He's a recent He's a recipient of the two highest civilian awards of India. Oh, wow, look at that. That's awesome. X Prize. The most high-profile X Prize to date was the Ansari X Prize relating to spacecraft development awarded in 2004. This prize was intended to inspire research and development into technology for space exploration. So are you pretty into, are you like really into like technology?
I mean,
yeah. I'm not going to address what's behind me, but he's got the Matrix behind me, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you haven't seen my screensaver.
He's got the Matrix. He's got 19 TV screens. He's got a chair with a plug in the back of the neck. He's got 19 different gamer controls. Do you got a Switch yet? Do you have a Switch?
I do, yeah.
You, of course you do.
He's got, I stream on Twitch. So, yeah. So I.
Do you need all of those screens to stream on Twitch?
Actually, I use all of them while I'm streaming. Yeah.
Really?
It's, you'd be surprised. Like you're basically putting on like a mini live. I mean, it's like a mini live studio broadcast.
Yeah.
And you need, you know, you have like overlay images, and you have your streaming program. So like either XSplit or OBS is what people use.
Okay.
You're managing your audio like this, like okay. Microphones and the levels, and then you have alert sounds, and then you have the chat window, so you're trying to keep up with like what people
are chatting. All right, this makes sense.
You also have like another window for when your chat gets bigger, you want to have people help you sort of like moderate the chat, just make sure like nothing like shady is going on.
Like it doesn't surf into the dark web.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you know about the dark web? You're in all this tech, right? Do you know anything about it? Because I just found out that it's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Oh, it's totally a real thing.
It's weird.
That's why Bitcoin is so popular.
Is it? Because of the dark web? Mm-hmm. They use Bitcoin to buy goods and services that are not up to, not not of moral quality.
Yeah, or just hard to get in
other
places that are legitimate.
So you got a big Twitch channel?
I'd say it's sizable. It's like, it's not as big as my other social media channels, but okay. it's a great, great, positive, like fun community. They're really encouraging with each other, and they've sort of formed like their own community even outside of when I'm streaming, which I find is great. I game, with some of them sometimes. Like it's awesome too. As much as like I don't like backseat gaming. Like, I don't encourage it in my channel.
What does that mean?
So it's like I think sometimes when you're playing a game especially for the first time and people have played it over and over again, like maybe it's a classic or something.
Okay.
People are like, no, go this way. Like,
okay.
I like to just be surprised, but a lot of times like you get stuck. There's plenty of times you get stuck, and it's like you can pull the audience and
okay,
and like, oh no. Like,
so you'll play games for the first time and they'll help you through it. They'll be like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, or like if I ask,
you got to jump on that third brick.
Yeah, then, if I ask for help, they're like, no, you need to push X, dude. Like push X. Push,
so people will watch X. You play a game they've already played.
Sometimes.
What's the latest game you played?
What do I play? I play a lot of Destiny. I play a lot of.
Is Destiny Xbox. the three dots on the cover? What game is that?
Oh, the triangle?
Yeah, the triangle.
Yeah, that's the
same. I went to E3 2 years ago. I know my games.
Razzle's,
I know my boxes.
Razzle's pulling from the shelf, the dusty shelf. So I play a lot of Destiny, Dead by Daylight, a lot of horror games.
Yeah?
I like the gory, like bloody stuff. Resident Evil 7. Trying to think. And then
and you play them on your computer. You're not playing them through like a system.
I play.
Or are you using?
If I can get it on the PC, like I will play. I'd much rather play it on the computer because the computing power that in the machine that I built is like blows away Xbox or PS4.
You hear that, Bill Gates?
But the thing is that the community that's on Xbox or PS4, like that's. A lot of which you go on the online community if you want to play it, or for their exclusives like Halo. Well, I guess Halo's coming to Windows now. Or I guess it was always, but it just depends.
Yeah.
It's cross-platform now, but because Microsoft has Xbox. But yeah, I mean, I play a lot. I play mostly now only when I'm streaming.
Okay.
I feel guilty when I'm almost playing otherwise.
Otherwise. Honolulu. You're born and raised in Honolulu. Mm. Mm. How long you were in Honolulu? How long were you in Honolulu?
Definitely for most of my formative childhood years, but I moved back and forth to California.
Okay.
So I mean, like, I think it's I got to spend a lot of time with my extended family there, which is really great. And it was, I think it was important that happens, because, like, now when I go back, you know, it's like I have family who grew up, you know, on the mainland or somewhere else outside of Hawaii, and they don't, it's a different relationship that you have with family. And, like, my family that I go and visit, like, they know me from when I was, like, baby.
Yeah.
A lot of my extended family took care of me, so, or they babysat, and they're like, oh, my little Keahu, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, not so little anymore. But it's nice to, it's always nice to visit. And every time I go back, which isn't often enough, I'm always kind of regretting.
Do you surf?
Not here.
No?
Yeah. In Hawaii I do, but yeah, not here. It's too cold.
Too cold. Oh, okay.
I hate cold water.
Honolulu, it's the capital of and the largest city of the state of Hawaii. It is an unincorporated part of and the county seat of the city and county of Honolulu on the island of Oahu, right? Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it? Oahu?
Oahu.
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 Oahu. For some reason, this is one reason I like doing the show, is because, especially from with guests from different parts of the states, I always thought Honolulu was like one of its own island, but it's not.
No, no.
How many islands are there? There's seven islands.
Yeah.
What are the names of those?
Oh, God.
You don't know?
No. It's Hawaii, or Hawaii, Oahu, Niihau, probably I can count, Kauai, Maui, Lanai, and I'm forgetting one. Wait. Molokai.
Okay.
Ah, all seven.
There we go. Seven.
made it through that.
Almost. Honolulu. Here's something interesting. So of the size, let's see what the size is first off. I don't know if it's talking about population or density. So it's the density, the is 953,000 about of the population. The area, the city itself is only 68 square miles. But what I'm getting at here is, according to Wikipedia, it says Honolulu is the most remote city of its size in the world, and is both the westernmost and southernmost major U.S. city, obviously. It's obviously the southernmost, and it's obviously the westernmost because it's further than any Alaska, right?
Well, obviously, because
Alaska goes out there, I guess.
Alaska is huge.
Yeah, but Alaska is also on the top of the globe, to where it's not as west. Like, the circumference of the northern part of the globe is not as tight as wide as, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Honolulu means sheltered harbor. Or calm port. The old name is said to be Kau, K-O-U? Kau?
Kau.
Kau? I don't know. It says K-O-U is the name.
K-O-U?
The old name is said to be K-O-U.
Ko.
A district roughly encompassing the area from Nuuanu. I'm not going to say these streets.
Nuuanu?
Yes. Avenue.
I'm not looking at the screen.
No, he's not. He just knows. He knows. Oh, you're trying to pronounce these weird words.
Yeah. It depends also where the Okina is. So the Okina is the apostrophe.
Okay.
It gives you a hint as to where the like breaks are, I guess.
No, The Rock is from Hawaii, right?
I believe
Dwayne
so.
Johnson? Johnson.
Isn't he from, like, doesn't he kind of grow up in Samoa, too?
Maybe. I'm looking here because I'm curious. Okay. He was born in California and raised between New Zealand and the U.S. states of Hawaii and Pennsylvania.
Really? What?
Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Settle down, Johnson.
Every day.
Settle down, Dwayne. Dwayne Johnson. Okay. So he's Samoan. So you're tan. Are you Hawaii? What region, or what would your, if I had a cast, what would I, and I wanted to be accurate in screen casting, because obviously you could play multiple ethnicities. Yeah. What would I cast you as?
Anything that I would be appropriate for.
Because your last name, what is, I or what, aside, like Hawaiian, I guess, but what is your last name?
Kahua Nui.
Kahua Nui.
Yeah.
What is that? Like, is that, it's is there, Hawaiian. It's Hawaiian. So yeah. It's straight up Hawaiian.
Yeah.
It's not like it's, you know, like I, my real last name is Gwizdala. So it's like Vizdala. So that's Polish. Mm-hmm. So Hawaiian is its own
language.
Language.
Yeah. I don't speak it. My family does.
Yeah. So you don't speak Hawaiian, but according to your Wikipedia, it says you speak German fluently and has demonstrated a competence in Mandarin Chinese.
Yes, that is correct.
But you don't speak Hawaiian.
No. I almost feel like I don't speak Hawaiian. I don't do any of our cultural like arts. I'm not like a woodworker.
Who's the seamstress around here?
I can't. I know. Well, I do cosplay, so.
Okay. There we go.
But I don't dance hula, for instance. I'm not a fire dancer. Like, I have my family who.
Can you breathe fire?
No.
Can you stretch your arms out really long like Dalzim in Street Fighter? No? Was he Hawaiian? I don't know. I just. Why do you speak German? Fluently.
I speak German because I lived there in high school.
Really? How long did you live there?
It was a year exchange program.
Okay.
Yeah.
What made you pick Germany?
Funny story, actually. So my first choice, I think, was.
And where did you stay in Germany?
Well, my first choice was Italy. My second choice was Japan, and my third choice was Germany because I was like, oh, it's really close to Italy.
Okay.
Like,
when you were there for the year and a half, did you go to Italy?
Yes, I went twice.
Okay.
But it's actually Europe. The distance. Despite it being like not that far, it's something about it, like, it is far because there's so much in between.
Like, it's like going to Venice Beach from where you live.
Kind
far.
Of, far.
The LA mentality is a 2-hour train ride.
Yeah.
It's like, San Diego's not far. Like, I'm from a small town, Bay City, Michigan, and I would drive 2 hours to Detroit to go to see concerts. People hear you tell them you're driving to San Diego, and they're like, what? Why are you going to LA?
Why? How long?
Because the Rolling Stones aren't coming to LA. That's why.
No, and the worst part was that the place I was in Germany in Hamburg is like north, like it's super far north. Hamburg is arguably for me one of the most beautiful cities in I would say Europe.
You say it Hamburg, but it's spelled Hamburg. Which is it?
Hamburg. Well, in German, it's actually Hamburg.
Which is it? I'm an American. Hamburg is the German pronunciation, right?
Hamburg.
Exactly. And that's where you lived?
Yeah.
Here we go. It's the second largest city in Germany and the eighth largest city in the European Union.
And the largest harbor city in, or the largest, like, harbor in all of Europe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big port town.
Yeah.
How, I'm looking at some of these pictures on Wikipedia and it's a beautiful harbor. It's like a cityscape. It's a transport hub.
And even since I've lived there, it's become such like a technological, like they've developed the city. If I recall correctly, San Francisco is the sister city to Hamburg.
Okay.
And the architecture, the way they've worked in like the historical landscape and the buildings into all these like new, more modern structures is just incredible, and everything's structured around the fact that it's a harbor town.
Chicago is the sister city.
Oh, is it?
According to Wikipedia, yeah. Chicago, Osaka, Japan, Chicago, Illinois. According here, it's like a big science center. Like, they have a lot of universities.
Yeah.
Is that when? How long? So, you went there in high school, and you were there for a year and a half.
A year.
And so that's why you know German fluently.
Yeah.
So in a year, you picked up all of German.
Yeah. I mean,
there's only 100 words, but no.
No, actually, I had to teach myself English grammar just to learn German grammar. Because the grammar is so complex. It's extremely difficult. But as like a 16, 17-year-old kid, you're going there thinking, like, you know, you leave the hyper social environment of high school and you go to like some foreign land where you don't speak their language. They gave me a 1 month crash course, and then they're like, okay, like, have fun in school trying to learn and be like a normal kid and go to socialize with 100 words.
Yeah.
And you learn, you either, I feel like you it's either like embrace
immediate Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you at least you choose two different directions. It's either you shelter yourself and find all the people who can speak English, and you kind of, you know, I don't know, training wheels your way through the year, or you really embrace it and just like, you know, carry a notepad with you every day, write down all these words that you hear all the time and that are used over and over again, and like translate them. I remember I'd go home at like 2 p.m. in the afternoon and I would pass out because my brain was just tired. Like, I was so, my brain was just exhausted, and it wasn't jet lag. It was, I was translating all the time.
Translating. Your now, brain's constant.
Like, you're just constantly thinking like 8 times about what people are saying to make sure you get the right translation, and then trying to come up with the words to try and explain like your point of view, or like what you need, or like where you're trying to go. And I mean, learning a foreign language was probably one of the most like eye-opening, enlightening experiences of my life.
What about Mandarin? Why do you know Mandarin?
So
demonstrated competence in Mandarin. What is competence in Mandarin as opposed to German fluently?
Yeah, so my Mandarin isn't as good as my German. I can definitely get by. I can order food. I can ask for directions. I can, like, there's a lot of places you can go in China where no one speaks English. Like, good luck. Like, the thing is it's a different script. So if you can't recognize, like, simple symbols for, like, bus or, like, restaurant or, like, meats, you know, it can make life really difficult. But in college, I really wanted to challenge myself and, again, like, somehow find that new experience, that, like, enlightenment, I guess, through another language or another culture. And I wanted to do something totally different that was not another European language.
Yeah.
I didn't really, like, I didn't want to do Spanish, which was, I don't know if that was a good choice. Japanese was kind of always on the back of my mind, but I looked at kind of the map and I was like, okay, Spanish, no. I had really bad experience in elementary school. I just did not want to learn, like, or in middle school, I didn't want to learn Spanish. And then Japanese, I was like, it's just not as widely used, and I don't see it being beneficial to me in my, like, my career. So I looked at China. I was like, well, that's a big country. And it, like, you know, as a college student putting yourself through college, like, I wanted to go somewhere that was affordable, like, be able to exchange.
So you went to college in China?
I did. I did a semester program in
China. How long is a semester program in China?
It's like 4 months.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. But I studied Chinese for 2 years in college, and then I studied for a year in college, went to China for 4 months, and then studied another year. And so my Chinese, I have, like, things that I've – essays that I've written.
Really?
In Chinese – just in Chinese characters.
And, get out.
And I look at it, and I'm like, I can barely read, like, half that. But
there's 960 million native speakers of Mandarin. Mandarin is by far the largest of the seven or ten Chinese dialect groups, with 70% of Chinese speakers and a huge area stretching from Yunnan in the southwest to Xinjiang in the northwest. Most Mandarin varieties have 4 tones. Do you know what that means?
Yeah, so it's like the each syllable has a different intonation that can give it a different meaning. So ma, 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 ma. They're like, ma has 4 different ways you can speak it. It still confuses me, and I'm sure I'm, like, butchering the tones right now.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a flat tone, which is ma, and then there's a, like, a variable tone that goes down and then up, and it's ma, and then there's one that goes up, which is ma, okay, and then there's ma, and it's down. And there's, and all 4 of those mean 4 different things. So you, if you say, like, one can mean mother.
No, that's Japanese.
One can mean mother, and the other one means horse. And then the other two, I think, are like used in compound words. And it's
that's confusing.
It's really important. Just
come up
to
with
use
different words. Yeah, you're calling your mother a horse.
Yeah, if you don't know how to speak the language properly,
That's tough.
And I've even got, I remember.
That's tough.
I remember when I was first, when I first got on my exchange, I had some good structure, like a good basis. But I was in the cab once, and this is before the Olympics. This is like pre-Olympics. I remember we got lost because the tone I was using to pronounce this place was spelled the same in pinyin and pronounced very similarly at another place across the map, but the intonation was different. I just on like one of the syllables.
Oh wow!
And he's like, oh, I thought you meant here. And I'm like, and we looked at the map, and fortunately I had a paper map, and I'm like, no, I wanted to go here. And he's like, oh, okay. And he's like, and he would said the word of the place, and I was like, ah, oh. I was like, God, it's like it sounds. It's just a tiny bit off.
Just
like,
off.
And sometimes it's indiscernible. Like if your ear isn't trained for it, you can't discern like the slight variation.
Yeah. Of the I mean, I guess it's kind of like how we have words that are – I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of any, but there are – the English language has words that are spelled the same and said the same. Mm-hmm. But then
there.
But then they also have like read and read are spelled the same, but they're pronounced differently.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not – from England, you know, from here, and you're just trying to learn or whatever, you're going to pronounce them interesting or whatever.
It's incredibly confusing.
Just as confusing, yeah. I would say.
But we also have, like, I feel like in Chinese, at least this is my observation, and it may be because my competency with the language isn't as in-depth as, like, my familiarity with German. But in English or in Chinese, like for instance, in English, when we say, you know, it's like, and this is often, we have these in like acting exercises, right? You have like, say, oh, in like 10 different ways, you know, like mean something different with each way you say,
yeah.
Oh.
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 Oh. Like, and that for us,
yeah.
I mean, there is some of that in Chinese, but because of the intonations, I feel like the intonations are emphasized more, so you have more of a like a standardized
response
tone of the language,
yeah,
versus how colorful and confusing our language, like our pronunciation,
yeah,
of words can be, because we can vary like the way we say a word so drastically.
Yeah, and you get the meaning from that.
Change the meaning because it's all about body language.
Yeah,
like communication is just—it's so fascinating.
Yeah,
and especially among different languages and cultures, and I just find that like I think it's made me incredibly sensitive and attuned, especially and it's been very useful for acting, to how I communicate.
Yeah.
And being sort of just attuned to like what I'm trying to communicate and what's coming out.
Now you mentioned you originally wanted to go to Italy or whatever, and you went there twice. Yeah. What did you like about Italy? And I only bring up Italy because I have a fact here that I've wanted to bring up on one of these episodes, and at the country of origin is in Italy. So let's talk about Italy first, then we'll talk about Pinocchio.
Okay. Italy, I've always liked Italian food. I used to hang out in like all the little Italian neighborhoods growing up. Like in high school, like on the weekends, I would just go and, you know, find some random new restaurant and order whatever it was off their menus. I feel like we romanticize Italian culture and it's like you think of Europe, you think of like London and Paris and Rome. Like,
yeah.
Actually, and it's so funny that still to this day, like a lot of people don't really think about Germany. I think it's happening more and more that people do think about like Berlin, and they're more on the map, like in the media, especially, you know, recently.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, being 16, like I was like, oh, Rome, like, wow, like the Colosseum and like the architecture and the history, like Italy, where the history came from.
Yeah.
Like, I remember taking European history and looking at all the artwork and like the our history books and a lot of that I wanted to see. And I think that's actually, I didn't remember or retain a lot from that class. But when I got to Italy, I think that made such a better point of reference for me, because I was like, wow, like, oh, I see like this giant like painting that's like amazing, or these giant sculptures, or like the Duomo. I was like, wow.
This What's the Duomo?
The Duomo is a cathedral in the center of Florence. It's a beautiful building. And you really don't appreciate it in a picture, like, at least not the way, you know, that when the history books or history teacher like slaps that giant book in front of you and says, here, this is what we're going to learn this year. Like, and then you just look through pictures and try to remember like why it's important. And when you go there, it's just this more tangible, like enriching experience, I think, at least for me.
Duomo is a term for an Italian cathedral church. The formal Italian word for a church that is now a cathedral is cattedrale. A Duomo may be either a present or a former cathedral. I mean, the Duomo of Milan looks... Oh, there's a picture of this on Duomo. I mean,
no, you got to look at the one in Florence.
Duomo in Florence.
Awesome.
D-U-O. Duomo. Duomo, Florence. Holy shit, yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. Florence Cathedral. That dome? That dome's great, dude. And it's got paintings inside it?
Yeah.
How did people... human beings. Dog.
He laid on scaffolding and painted that for, like, forever.
Consecrated 1436. So people painted this shit and that. Groundbreaking 1296. So it took 200 years almost to finish making that thing. That's like the Target on Sunset and Gower that they've been trying to make for 1,000 years. Cathedral complex located in the Piazza del Duomo includes the baptistry, marble panels. That's like, I'm a huge fan of history type of thing. Like if I was Bill Gates, I would make a list of like these wild structures. I'll be honest, even talking like in Los Angeles, there was, let me see if I can pull it up here. Los Angeles Theater. I went to see this that new FX show they have on, that Betty and June. So Cinespia did a thing with Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. They did a screening of this in the Los Angeles Theater downtown. And I went inside this, and let me see if I can pull up a photo of
it. Oh, downtown. That's like so many, like...
Like, oh, sorry. It's like amazing. And yeah, from the outside, it looks like these shitty fucking buildings in downtown Los Angeles. Then you walk inside, and it's the size of a castle. There's a ballroom. There's like a basement that was like a ballroom. It was like the Titanic, dude.
What?
That's just the basement. And there's like rooms and weird ancillary rooms, and then there's the upstairs and the balcony. And it's like in downtown. And somebody was telling me...
Wait, I think I've been there. I think I know what you're
saying. It's like the old Charlie Chaplin Theater, supposedly. And supposedly...
Isn't that like Spring Street?
Yeah, I think. Okay, yeah, Spring Street.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, supposedly, Los Angeles Theater. Was it 2000? It's been...
They host a lot of events there.
Apparently, it only is open to private events. Supposedly, it... Yeah, Charlie Chaplin helped fund the completion. Construction was completed in less than 6 months and cost $1.5 million for... The Los Angeles Theater was constructed in the late 30s. In an early 1931. Charlie Chaplin helped fund the completion because he wanted it ready to open his premiere, City Lights, in 1931. After closing its doors to the public in 1994, the Los Angeles Theater has for many years sat vacant, although now it's rented for special events. But it's like, this theater is beautiful, and I watch a movie in there, and it's like, I would pay... People are paying, you know, $30 to go see IMAX movies.
Yeah.
I would pay $30 to go watch John Wick 2 in this amazing theater.
Yeah, yeah.
I would regularly pay $40 to see, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy or Drive or whatever. Yeah, I know, but these iPic theaters aren't escape.
This. Yeah, they're not like this.
They're not an escape. They don't have gargoyles, you know, 300 feet in the air looking at you while you're watching an explosion.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely something about
the romanticizing of you. It's an event. you dress up to go to this amazing theater and then you watch a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No,
I but agree. It's like it goes back to like the Duomo and you know, and this was in the last, you know, 120 years that they've done this in Los Angeles. But you look at the construction of these buildings in Italy and all that, that, you know, took 200 years, but they're like marble and there's paintings that are better than paintings here. That's wild. Like, human beings can create some cool shit.
Yeah, if they don't try to manufacture everything.
Yeah. Wild. So, Italy, I wanted to bring this up. Apparently, in the original Adventures of Pinocchio, Pinocchio, the first publication date for Pinocchio was 1883. The country of origin is Italy. Apparently, Jiminy Cricket dies in the original, and then his ghost haunts Pinocchio. But also, I'm looking at that. What's really interesting is... it has been adapted in over 260 languages worldwide, and it is the most translated non-religious book in the world.
Wow, really?
And one of the best-selling books ever, yeah. Most translated non-religious books. Let's look at this. So the Bible, obviously, is the most is religious of number of translations. The Little Prince is considered a religious book. The Watchtower, Jehovah's Kingdom, You Can Be God's Friend.
The Quran.
Yeah, really. Listening to God's Forever, Can the Deadly Really Live Again, Will Suffering Ever End, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Watchtower Society, a lot of them are Jehovah's Witness type things. Right. Then you get down to Pinocchio, publication, your publication of the Pinocchio was 1883.
I love that it's dark. It's so funny how like these like
Alice in Adventures in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll is 1865, but some consider some of that to be... religious, but in theory, if I'm looking at this, Pilgrim's Process, let's see if Pilgrim's Process, Little Prince is religious. So I would say Alice's Adventures in Wonderland would be...
Is it more political than religious? But
would be, yeah, okay. So I would say Alice in Wonderland would be the second most published book that's non-religious, aside from The Pilgrim, but The Pilgrim, this Pilgrim book looks kind of religious. Yeah, it's a Christian allegory, so there we go. So Alice's Adventures in Wonderland are the second most published non-religious book in over 200 languages. That's The Pilgrim's Process. Alice in Adventures in Wonderland is 174 languages. And then you have Anderson's Fairy Tales after that. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Jules Verne, 148 languages, published in 1870.
Wow.
Isn't that wild? Those three books are the most...
I love hearing though that like I've never actually, you know, heard the Pinocchio, like the actual story.
Yeah.
Aside from like the Disney one.
Yeah, you've heard the actual one?
No.
Oh yeah.
But I love to hear
when those
things have like sort of a dark side that was, you know, somehow lost in the cutting room.
Yeah, that they cut out because
It's too dark for
ready kids. For this.
But then you have Grimm's Fairy Tales.
Grimm's Fairy Tales,
and like that is some messed up stuff. Like those are some dark tales.
Ready for this? According to Wikipedia, it's got a list of characters. Ready? The Talking Cricket. The Talking Cricket is a cricket whom Pinocchio kills after it tries to give him some advice. The cricket comes back as a ghost to continue advising the puppet.
What?
So Pinocchio kills Jiminy Cricket.
Wow.
I think the name, Disney probably named Jiminy Cricket. But and according to here, it's just called the Talking Cricket. And Pinocchio kills it. Pinocchio is a naughty pine wooden marionette who gains wisdom through a series of misadventures which lead him to become a real human as a reward for his good deeds. Dog, he kills his friend. And he gets become he kills a cricket and
but
he becomes a human.
Okay, like
yeah, like the Disney obviously isn't going to have Pinocchio kill a cricket. But it is interesting how like all these fairy tales that we come up with, they were dark because they're more like they're to keep your kids in line.
Yeah.
You tell your kids these stories.
I'd rather tell my kids the dark versions.
The dark versions. Like well, don't.
You want to kill your kids?
There's a monster under your bed, kid. Have you? Yeah. Do you mean like it's yeah. really, why don't we, I mean, why aren't we telling our kids these dark stories? Like, they teach you. They were told for a while. They obviously teach you morals.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, that's a lot of the Germans, like the Grimm's fairy tales. They they teach a lot about like self-responsibility, and they're harsh lessons.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they're still good stories, I think. And a lot of times, I feel like we've sort of gotten too used to like these happy outcomes all the time, because the reality is like, it's not always happy.
Yeah.
And I think that having a dark side to some of these fairy tales kind of conditions you a little bit to be like more prepared for.
Oh yeah.
The
like Hansel and Gretel. Hey, don't go into strangers' houses.
No.
Also, if you're a parent reading Hansel and Gretel, don't abandon your kids in the forest.
Yeah. It's a lesson for the whole family.
It's a familial lesson. Were there any Hawaiian fairy tales that are there any or
there are actually some of the most interesting stories about the Hawaiian gods.
Yeah?
I
do you remember any?
No, I wish I did. I know a handful, and I hear them over again when I go back home, because like there'd be someone around, someone new that's never been to Hawaii, and my uncles will start like telling the stories. I mean, like, Hawaiians are notorious for being storytellers.
Yeah.
And like, I've seen very Moana. Illustrated, huh?
I've seen Moana. Is that Hawaiian? Is that what is yeah. Moana?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's supposed to represent sort of Polynesian culture in general, but it's still kind of stereotyping in some ways.
Yeah.
But it's the gods that are a part of Hawaiian mythology are actually incredible. Like, they're so cool. Like, a lot of them have to do with elements. There's like Pele, the god of
yeah. Okay, so I pulled up a thing here. On it says Hawaiian folktales. There's Pele and the Deluge, and then Pele and the Kahawali.
Tales, yeah.
Yeah, these are tales. Do you know about these tales? So who's Pele? Tell me about Pele.
Pele's like the fire goddess. Like she's lava. Like she controls lava and the earth, and like she has a very bad temper.
And she had two brothers.
Yeah.
Kamahawali.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It says she's got two brothers.
Kamahawali'i and Kahuilaokalani. God, that's worse than my name.
Well, your real name, your full name. What's your full name?
Ke ahu pu'ehele kahuanui. So I'm
Do you have a middle name?
It's no.
John.
Yeah. It's so Ke Ahu Pu'ehele Kahua Nui. It's a name given to me from the Big Island.
Okay.
So there.
Tell me about
just,
that.
Just like
How, what does
just
that
like
mean?
A lot of cultures like that are, you know, that are on smaller regions. There were some variations in like the pronunciation and like dialects, I guess, because there were several tribes. Like the Hawaii had on the different islands different tribes that were at one time united.
Okay.
And my name originates from the Big Island around Kona, and it means place where the fire gathers. At least that was the meaning that was given.
That's your first name?
The whole name.
The whole name.
Yeah.
Place where the fire gathers.
Yeah.
So your last name, what does your last name mean? Because if you split that up,
no,
gathers or what?
So
how does that work?
The way Hawaiian names work is
is your last name the same as your parents' last name?
Yes. Like my family name is Kahua Nui.
Okay.
But the if you look at like if you go and try and translate if you take like a Hawaiian dictionary to a Hawaiian English dictionary and you try and translate my name by syllable. Or you try and break it down and translate it, you can actually translate it in different ways depending on like which syllables you combine. The most important significance of the meaning of your name is from the meaning that it's given.
Okay.
So at least this is what I've been taught, and then the given meaning is a place where the fire gathers.
Okay.
So that's
So kind of Pele, like she's like a volcanic a bit, I mean, goddess.
It doesn't help that I'm like, I'm also a Leo. Like,
yeah. Like, what is Leo's a lion, fire sign. Fire sign.
Yeah. So it's a lot of I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I just need to go back to Hawaii. And I feel like as part of my, because I have a demonstrated ability in languages and I am in, I have a career in the arts. Like,
yeah.
There's a bit of guilt that I feel for not taking more, like helping to preserve the Hawaiian culture a little bit more by learning our arts.
Yeah.
Like I said, I have family who are fire dancers and hula dancers and like,
what's a fire dancer where you have like batons with the fire on the ends?
Yeah. My uncle like singes off his eyebrows all the time.
Yeah. So he's not very good.
No, he's great, but it's fire. I mean, you're breathing fire. Like,
oh, he breathes it too.
Yeah. He like blows out like, that blows my mind.
Now, is that alcohol or what is he blowing out? Is it like a wax or something? I've heard of it.
It's not a lighter fluid.
It doesn't seem healthy.
It's not.
Anything that can catch fire, it doesn't seem like you should be putting your body. I mean, whiskey, people drink, but and that does that, I guess, too. But other things, it's like, it's weird.
But now most of my cousins are doing it, too, so it's like they have a whole little troop.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty awesome to watch, also.
And they do that at, like, Hawaiian events, or where do they do that? Like,
yeah, yeah.
You got a wedding.
They travel to perform, but they also do a lot of stuff on the island.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, a lot of my family, they dance hula.
Yeah.
And when I'm visiting some of my family, they'll sit there and speak Hawaiian to each other, and I have no idea what I'll pick up like maybe a word or two.
Oh, they're talking about you. That's what they're saying.
some of my cousins went to immersion school, so all of their classes were in Hawaiian, and it's an effort to help preserve the language before it dies.
That's cool, but also it's gonna die. Don't worry about it.
No, actually, it's been growing.
Yeah,
it's been growing. Like
it's
in the last 10 years, there's actually been a huge regrowth of the language. And funny enough, apparently there's.
I'm glad
they found that German speakers are incredibly proficient at picking up the Hawaiian language and vice versa because of similarities in the pronunciation of not only what is it? The basic building blocks of language sounds. I forget what they're called. But also just the grammar structure apparently is similar.
That's interesting.
I
wonder how many. That'd be an interesting scientific study to find out what languages are easier for different regions to pick up based on the dialects or like the sounds or whatever.
Yeah.
And see if where that comes from, because obviously Pangea and whatever, you know, the world and everybody's language, but there's also the idea of that at some point there had to have been like a language, or you know, like who started talking first or whatever, but
yeah,
there's interesting.
But you have the families. I mean, it definitely like the romantic, like yeah, the Latin languages are all, you're gonna have an easier time picking them up because of the similar structure between like French and Spanish and English.
It's almost like a sister language almost, if that's the case. Like if it's easier for German people to pick up Hawaiian. Like,
strangely so, because they're literally 12 hour, like it's
opposite sides of the globe.
In the same hemisphere.
Yeah.
Like I mean, when I chose to learn Chinese, I was like, wow, this language could not be more opposite
Different,
German than any other language on the planet. The grammar structure is completely different. Like you almost throw out any structural framework for in Chinese,
yeah,
because everything depends on context. Whereas like German is so specific. Like they have a rule and a specific like word order and everything to be as specific as possible about exactly what they want to mean. Like they are so exact, and it's beautiful of how precise that language is, versus Chinese, which is not the case.
Yeah,
like total opposite.
So it's languages interest me.
It's,
I wish I knew languages. Like I know English, I know English.
I mean,
I wish. It's hard to half the time I can't even read or speak good. One of my favorite Steve Martin jokes is like I'm a huge fan of languages, or something. Or some people, what is it?
I can't, I'm flubbing it now, but it's similar where it's like, you know, I speak really good or something like that. Steve Martin's the best. I'm fucking up one of his jokes. So that's why I don't do Steve Martin jokes.
Or stand up.
Yeah. I do stand up.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
I actually have a secret show with Microsoft that I do. It's a secret comedy show I host. I'll send you an invite next time. Definitely. It's up in Venice. It's really great. You'll have to come to it. It's really good. I moved out here for stand up.
In the show space in Venice?
Yeah, Venice. Microsoft Lounge. Yeah. It's really cool. So, yeah, it's a. I've been getting back into stand up. Once I started doing this podcast, my stand up kind of took a back seat. But as of the last 6 months, that's what I moved out here for. So it's like, you know, I miss it. So I'm doing it again.
I retract my statement.
Yeah. No, I get it. You didn't know. No, it's all good. So this is the time of the episode where it's your show. Anything you want to plug or talk about, or where? First off, where can people find you on the internet?
If you can spell my name, Keahu Kahuanui. I'm all over. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube. I'm launching a YouTube channel soon.
Okay, that's great.
It'll be vlogging, and I've got a lot of stuff planned. It's just a lot of like setup.
Yeah.
And with like, and also on Twitch.
Twitch. What's your Twitch?
It's my name, Keahu. So Keahu Kahuanui.
Yeah. Copy and paste from when you see this, because that's exactly what.
Or just click probably a link below.
Yeah, there'll be
There, I stream Tuesdays and Thursday nights, or Tuesday and Friday nights usually. Usually I like announce on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
And and then this Friday actually. Wait, next week. I will be on The Originals.
The Originals.
Yeah.
Is that every Friday?
Every Friday night.
Are you in every episode?
No, I'm not.
How many episodes this season are you on?
I don't know if I can say
that. You can't say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you get killed?
Spoiler territory.
Spoiler town, do you get killed? I've never seen the show. What is it? What's the show? Tell me about the show.
It's a Vampire Diaries spinoff.
Oh, okay. Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So
which Vampire Diaries just ended, right?
Yes.
Nina's on that. Vampire Diaries, right?
She was. Yeah. And so this one takes place in New Orleans.
Okay.
And there, it's really awesome because the stages are in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they basically built downtown New Orleans.
Get up.
It's like the French Quarter. They built inside.
That's amazing.
Stages. Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
That's awesome.
I mean, I've been to New Orleans and it looks like, I'm like, wow. They have like these backgrounds that, on these giant curtain. I mean, not to ruin like the Hollywood magic, but
yeah, but it's fake. But vampires aren't
it's
real.
It's all fake. they have these giant curtains that like are just basically a huge blown up picture of the streets going in the distance. But
you
can't tell.
I love
it's
movies.
Amazing.
Like this town, living in this town for being such a movie fan and entertainment fan, going to backlots or going on to like and Sony and Culver or whatever. I get such a kick out of just roaming around the sets and seeing empty warehouses or whatever and reading what was made here and things like that. Like even backdrops, forced perspectives that are matte paintings that you see that are so far and they're contrasted just enough to where it's still on camera looks like it's a real thing.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing, bro.
It is mind blowing.
It's so magical. Yeah. Like I could nerd out about movies all day because it's awesome.
And everything's staged. It drives me crazy because like
forced perspective shit blows my mind too.
It's that and the set design for the inside of homes.
Yeah.
Like somebody sat there and came up with like all the knickknacks and like all the stuff you see in the background in somebody's house, like on the shelf, the books,
the pictures,
the pictures, every little detail was thought of
somebody's
and placed
job.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
And like that to me, I'm like, wow.
What a
First
job.
Of all, no house that I've ever been to looks like this.
No.
But it looks awesome and I would live here. Like, how do I get you to make my house look like this?
Yeah.
Even though none of the stuff
hire set designers
mine.
To come and
even
do
though
your
none
house.
Of the stuff would be mine, I have no idea where it came from.
It just looks cool.
But it looks cool.
Oh, you read this book? No, that my decorator put it there.
Yeah. Don't move that. It like adds to
the feng shui.
The ambiance of it. I don't know. Yeah.
Originals on Fridays. So you were in Cape Town recently, right?
I was
in South. Did you meet up with Joey? Do you know Joey?
No.
Joey King?
She was down in the same area. I think, doing something.
Really? Are they at the same time?
I feel like so. I feel like you guys were both posting photos. I'm like, are you guys hanging? Are you filming the same thing? Okay. I don't know.
I don't know. I was there purely for vacation.
Okay.
I went there. And
she was doing something. She was filming something there, I think.
I was there for just to like get away.
I love Africa. I want to go there on so many safaris.
Namibia, man.
Yeah, go
Namibia
there.
Namibia is like. I think I was like ready to just, I was like, you know what, if like I got lost in the desert or something and like I just didn't make it back, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Because this is heaven.
That's amazing.
Like,
in closing, we'll close with this fun thing. Cause I made a tweet. I tweeted this tweet while I was at a bar with some friends and we were talking awfully loudly about this and it was like kind of like a douchey bar. So I'm like, we're the only nerds in here talking about something like this. And you'll know exactly what I say when I tweeted this, but the tweet was something along the lines of, is the money I steal during the purge tax deductible or do I need to pay taxes on, do I need to pay taxes on the money I steal during the purge? And what got us thinking about that is what started it all was, if the purge was happening tomorrow, if you knew for a year the purge was happening in 10 hours, what would you do? What would you plan for the purge, and what would you do during the purge? If the purge was real, what would you do?
I think what I would do would probably put me in jail right now. No, because that's a point. No.
Yeah.
I would definitely, I mean, like I remember watching the movie and I was like, wow, like they're all like pretending that everyone, like you're trying not to make any enemies, right?
Oh yeah.
But you're also like sitting there trying to fortify your house.
Oh yeah. Like you have a year to fortify your house.
Yeah. Like it's like these online like I could play this game Ark, okay, or like 7 Days to Die, or like where you build up a base, or like even like Minecraft, right? Like you know, like once the sun goes down, like all the monsters are gonna come out and like attack you. So you have literally like 7 hours or something to build up your base before it gets attacked.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to think of like what life would be our societal interactions would be completely different. I mean,
like, it's interesting to think about. Like, say the purge is real. Say you fortified your house or whatever. Right. But is everybody going to like knock on everybody's door to break in? Like, are people going to break in? Is people in this area down the street, are they going to try and rob other people's houses? Or are they going to be in their houses hoping nobody robs them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it's like, because I think you responded to my tweet. You're like, you're pretty confident you're going to get you're going to make it home with all that money. Because yeah. That's exactly that. It's like, there's, I mean, also people out there.
Like, the thing is,
well, my buddy who brought this question up, he's like, I would get on a boat and I would go out as far into the middle of the ocean as I can.
Pirates.
That's the thing. Is it's like, I'm like,
then you're isolated.
You're hoping there's nobody else on a boat
or in a submarine or.
Or
like,
do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, and then my thing was like, I would try and go into the woods, but then it's like, dog, there's people in the woods already that have the purge every day of the year. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but then
what happens? Or in the middle of the desert, you go out into Joshua Tree and hoping there's nobody there for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Somebody's always out in the desert.
It also only, think about like, you walk outside and think about like if there's someone just sitting on top of like a tall building, like
with a gun,
sniping people. Like just trying to not get killed.
Are there people doing that? But then also it's like, who's watching his back? Yeah. Who's to say there's not another sniper killing him?
Yeah.
It's weird.
You're at the highest point. I don't know.
I guess.
I mean, I guess the best thing would be maybe.
Or would you stay here? Would you stay indoors hoping nobody makes your house explode?
I wouldn't stay in this building.
No.
I mean, like, I would want like a. But then again, it's like, where do you, like, people are going to know you're building up your house to be like a fortress.
Yeah.
So I know plenty, like, if you think about how psychotic people can get.
Oh, yeah.
Think about like, if people go out for sport, like, they're going to be like, oh, let's attack that guy's house because it's going to be the most difficult to try and get into. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but who's
fun.
I mean, it is an interesting thing because it's like, well, but who's the say, like. There's the fear of, yeah, I mean, look.
Where's the accountability? Like, where's the, like,
I would love to go out and, I mean, I would have a list. If the purge was real, I would probably have a list of people that annoy me. I would, if the purge was real, I would befriend somebody at the DMV just so I could every day of the year send them license plates of people that upset me, and I just would have a list of where these people live. So then during the purge, I would go and take
this,
care
this
of these
This is
people.
Why I'm not elaborating further.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't want...
But
don't
it's want... also like, then again, that would require me to leave my house, and I don't want to get fucking shot.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to, like... You go outside and there's, again, who's to say there's not somebody sniping?
Yeah. I mean, you walk, like, that, how sad would that be? You open your door and you're like,
yeah, who's the, yeah, done. You just hang out. Somebody's sitting out on your, somebody's sitting out in the street waiting for people to drive by.
I think a less chaotic, like, more, probably easier thing to elaborate on that is sort of in the same realm, which is what I actually sat here and did for 2 hours with some friends. We said, what if the zombie apocalypse happened right now?
Yeah.
Like, and not at just like a, oh, there's like an outbreak in Chicago somewhere, yeah, and like, oh crap,
mass.
What are we gonna do? Like it's all over the place. Like,
yeah.
It's hit critical mass, and like you need to decide what you're gonna do. And I was like, man, first thing I would do is fill like the buckets and like my tub and everything with water.
Yeah.
Because water is like,
oh yeah,
it's all the utilities are gonna stop running.
Everything's gonna stop running.
And then we talked about like how, like where we would get weapons or like what we would, fortunately, like I have a lot of tools and like things and resources I'm good with my hands. Like I could probably create a lot of good things here.
Yeah.
But after 2 hours of elaborating, like trying to figure out, especially in the, you know, in the middle of the city,
where do you go?
How are you going to get out?
How do you get out? Where do you go?
And you think traffic,
are you concerned
now?
About people? Are you concerned about like citizens looting and killing people, yeah, or are you more concerned about the zombies? Because
and then like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna go to an airport where there's probably crashed planes or like zombies running around on the runway that are gonna keep you from taking off.
It's almost like you just try and go on a boat or go find high land.
Well, like you still have to get to the boat from here. Like,
from here, yeah.
Like,
well, I live near Venice, so
yeah. Good, thanks. Yeah, good. I'll come to your house.
Yeah.
Rob you for your keys.
Yeah. My boat's fortified. It's not going anywhere.
So
I don't know. It's something. It's always an interesting thing to discuss because it's people. You know, like, I would just go. Some people are like, I would go kill people. It's like, it's like, I would fort. Or how would you protect yourself? How would you know you fortify your house? Do you go, you know, in the desert? Do you go in the boat? Do you go hide up in a tree for 12 hours?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, and then I mean, you got to come down for food and resources and
for 12 hours. Oh, during the zombies.
Yeah.
Unless it's the purge, unless you're just hoping nobody finds you that is angry. But then it's like, you know, then you're banking on the stranger you find out in the woods. You're banking on them doing the same thing, and they're just kind of there to protect themselves. Mm. I don't know. Thank you so much for doing the show.
No, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Everybody.
A lot of stuff to think about.
Yeah. Everybody tweet us what you would do in the purge. And then watch the shows and follow him and watch his Twitches and all that. And then continue downloading this show and continue giving us good ratings. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, go and subscribe to that Patreon over there, patreon.com/todaywelearned, patreon.com/todaywelearned, and listen to these episodes, you know, way before they come out on iTunes, you know, and other people are doing it. You should do it too. I appreciate it. And I thank you so much for that. We've got some more episodes coming up soon. And thank you to the Patreon listeners listening to this early and all that stuff. And give us good reviews on iTunes and all that. And tell all your friends to listen to this show.
He said.
What I said. Thank you. Thanks again for doing the show.
No,
and as always, fortify your house in case the purge happens.
Good advice. Solid advice.
See you guys. Thanks, everybody.
Ciao.